Make us a favorite button on your browser.
If you click it, you'll go to that page.
TalkZone.com, your first choice for talk on the Internet. We're back on TalkZone for more Our Global Hope, world-changing leadership talk with your host, Dr. Henrik Mann.
If you're just joining us, I'm Dr. Henrik Mann, and we're back with our guest, Mr. Joe Berlinger, director of the award-winning movie Crude, The Real Price of Oil. I want to invite our listeners to find us on the web at www.ourglobalhope.com and not to call into our show today because we're focused on this special interview. Joe, before the last break, we were discussing matters of human rights, and in my former professional role, you wouldn't know, but I used to be the pastor of a congregation right here in San Ramon, California. Which is the world headquarters of Chevron. They moved from San Francisco to San Ramon to Bishop Ranch here not that long ago. And my church was filled with many mid and high level employees of Chevron. And in fact, I would think that many of these people go to some church to this day in our region and feel that they're trying to live the best life they can. And that whatever former people in Texaco might have done or not done, it doesn't really concern them. And yet I'm aware that there are concepts of authority and responsibility and accountability that that bring people into connection through their daily jobs with this potential destruction of habitat. Well, not potential. It is real. It is real destruction of habitat and of human life. So I'm just wondering, as you think about these people who are working for Chevron, what's your message to those folks?
Well, that's a good question. The company has put out massive levels of information and what I deem is misinformation about the case. People who work for Chevron certainly have a right to work for a company, and I'm sure the company does many great things and, around the globe. But, the company is also involved in a lot of things that, should raise some eyebrows. And I would urge people who work for that company to, dig beneath the surface, not just accept what the company is telling them, and to look at things critically. Look at Crude. I tried to have a screening in San Ramon. Private screening. I reached out to Chevron and offered to have a screening there for employees prior to the theatrical release so that employees wouldn't feel sandbagged. That request was turned down. Trudy Styler offered to pay. An email was sent to every Chevron employee. Not sure how she got the email addresses, but somebody did. And 6,000 Chevron employees were invited to go see the movie, in one of the San Francisco theaters that it was playing at, on her dime. She offered to pay for the ticket. And, to our knowledge, very few employees took her up on that offer because it required cashing in a coupon at the box office, and very few were turned in. If any, frankly. And the level of disinformation and half the truth that the company continues to put out, is disturbing. And again, I'm not taking a position in the legal case, but, it would be a smart public relations move even for Chevron. And this is what I think employees should demand of their company. They have hired the best of the best to defend the suit and to put out information into the U.S. marketplace, the best advertising agencies, law firms, lobbyists. I can't even begin to put a price tag on it, but it's in the multi-millions of dollars. Let them take 1% of the amount of money they're spending defending themselves and putting out positive messages about themselves and without admitting any wrongdoing, just as a humanitarian gesture, take 1% of that money and buy some water tanks for people, as Trudy Styler has done, because certainly Chevron has much deeper pockets than Sting and Trudy, even as successful as the police were. Chevron is the fifth largest company in the world. Let them take 0.5%. I challenge them. Take 0.5% of the money they spend on putting out their human energy campaign, talking about how good they are in the world, and do some good for the people in this region, you know. And those are the kinds of things I would like their employees to become more sensitive to.
Well, when I look on their website, I see that the Chevron way and values, as stated, include that they say that our company's foundation is built on our values, which distinguish us and guide our actions. We conduct our business in a socially responsible and ethical manner. We respect the law. We support universal human rights. We protect the environment. We benefit the communities where we work. And I think what you're speaking to is you're saying, you know, this is great for all the employees to believe in as the Chevron way. Can you show us in Ecuador where that is having real impact on the ground when you're looking at babies that have severe dermatological problems, when you're having people who are struggling to find clear and clean drinking water, and when it's a situation where even the air that they breathe seems to be polluted?
Yeah. Well, you know, of course, Chevron will tell you that the baby's rashes are due to poor sanitation, which I find to be a very troubling remark. You know, but I'm not a scientist and I can't prove it, so they are certainly entitled to their say. They will say that all of the pollution there is due to Petroecuador. You know, but one of the things that is not being communicated to their employees is this lawsuit was originally filed in 93, shortly after their departure, long before Petroecuador made the matters worse. Mm-hmm. If you see pictures from the region at the time, if you look at the documentary evidence, which I have looked at tremendous numbers of photos and videos of the region prior to the handover to Petroecuador, there was a horrible pollution problem there. And while Chevron claims it cleaned up their share of the mess, one of the things that does not get talked about often enough, and in fact, in hindsight, I probably should have made it a stronger argument in the film, is that there's a method of production where, you know, when oil comes up from the ground, there's this formation water. It's mixed with the raw crude. The raw crude and the formation water gets separated at these well sites or at these separation stations that are near the wells. The crude gets sent off to market, and this heavy water for three decades was dumped into the rivers and streams that feed the Amazon. So they might have cleaned up some pits and whatever their percentage of pits that they felt that they should have cleaned up. But there's no cleaning up and going back in time and reversing three decades of dumping toxic water. There's no moral justification for it. And one of the things I find strange and interesting, you know, they could have played this very differently. They are actually, you know, Chevron is not Texaco. Just to remind listeners, Texaco is the one who is allegedly behind, according to the plaintiffs, these inferior drilling practices that were not the standard practice of the day. Chevron inherited the lawsuit and the liabilities because they merged with Texaco. But Chevron as a company could still maintain its policy that you just read about treating the environment with respect and distance itself from Texaco and try to make some kind of gesture towards reparations. But they don't, and they stand behind what Texaco did, which I find to be just interesting.
Do you think that the reason for that might be that this lawsuit has implications for all multinational corporations working overseas, that that they're going to be held accountable in ways that they don't want to be held accountable?
Of course. I mean, it comes down to the almighty dollar, and I think I think a negative outcome in this case would send chills throughout corporate boardrooms throughout the world, which is actually precisely what needs to happen. We are at a time in our history where we're on a collision course with the environment. And, you know, oil extraction is a messy business. In fact, all of the extractive industries, you know, are wreaking incredible havoc on this world. And, you know, I'm not so simplistic and so left-leaning that I think we should give up extracting things because the world, unfortunately, has a certain way of functioning, and I don't think it's realistic that we are going to go back to being an agrarian society, particularly with large, you know, unprecedented levels of population. I don't think an agrarian society would function. However, there is a level of corporate responsibility that needs to be adhered to. Otherwise, I think we're, you know, we are on a collision course with ecological disaster. And I think a
Go ahead.
No, I just think a lot of companies around the world are looking at the outcome of this case with great interest.
And I think part of the reason is, as you think about lessons for leadership, I remember being schooled by Chevron leaders in the concept as it related to my position as a pastor who was dependent on the income of the church for my salary and my livelihood. And, you know, I found it powerful to think about those three concepts, authority, responsibility, and accountability. And then when you think about the corporations from which people come from, they also have to deal with this. I mean, think of the Enron case where they had a tremendous amount of responsibility and authority and accountability, but they didn't want to be accountable, and they were hiding things. And
we've just come off of an incredible period where Americans really should wake up. I mean, and really understand, you know, from Enron till now, we've just gone through a series of scandals that have rocked the financial system. I mean, you know, the venerable AIG. Really, if you want to reduce the economic crisis to if you want to oversimplify, you know, a giant insurance company with a, you know, the highest ratings you can get in corporate America and an image, you know, a blue chip image that was unassailable, basically sold and resold and resold insurance products for which they had no money to pay should the bets go sour. And that's exactly what happened. The bets went sour on the housing market. They had insurance products that they couldn't pay off, and they knowingly sold these products to investors, knowing that if the day ever came where people asked for their money, that they couldn't pay it. And that rocked the entire financial system, and the American taxpayer had to bail out this company because it was too large to fail. Now, that's oversimplifying the economic crisis, but we should all be aware that the institutions around us that we trust need some oversight because they aren't self-regulating, in my opinion.
I share that opinion with you, and as we go into our third break, I want to again remind our listeners that we're not using our listener call-in line today and that you can learn more about our show at www.ourglobalhope.com. We'll be right back with Joe Berlinger for one more segment of World Changing Leadership Talk.